I'm John, he's Matt, also Andrew. Music sucks, here we go.
Well, hey.
Well, hey. Well, hey there.
Hi, God. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Sorry. I've been playing too much Sim Golf.
Oh, good God.
I'm starting to learn fucking Simlish. It's terrible.
Yeah, you know, I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, like Simlish
cover songs.
That was
a total thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I remember that when Black Eyed Peas announced, it was like, yeah, we did a cover song in Simlish. Like, dude, that's great. I don't want to hear what you're saying. Awesome. Could you, like, do records like that where...
That's the best song.
I'm, like not confronted with done. Your... Stupid
is that stupid? Was it for the Herbs? SimCity Herbs? That was Sims, the Herb.
I think Herbs? The Herbs was totally separate from the Sims, wasn't it?
It was like some sort of weird off-brand.
I thought it was an Ubisoft knockoff. Like just oh.
No, that was the Sims. Herbs, Sims in the City.
I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah, it's
on that.
Yeah. Hip-hop group The Black Eyed Peas provided several music scores for the game, which have been translated into Simlish.
Yeah. Okay.
Members of the group would also appear as guests in the Herbs game.
Break into your house and then Will
also,
I Am does a
one robot of the greatest
dance.
Video game titles of recent memory.
Yeah. And that
the
was
Herbs.
E3. No.
Herbs.
But this isn't a video game podcast.
No, we
this
can
is
make
a music
it
podcast.
Later. Hey, music?
Podcast?
I like the Beatles.
It's stupid because it's retarded.
Yeah.
I hate the Beatles. They're stupid.
Ah, let's crank down. We've not done a podcast for three months.
We were all like, we're going to do one monthly, and apparently that meant January, February, and never again.
So let's fucking cover April through June.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that means we need to talk about Death Grips while we're at it.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And Masita. We didn't do anything.
We'll make those kind of brief.
All right. Okay, so, actually, no, I kind of wrote a thing kind of about Death
Grips? That's kind of why I want to make the Death... Well, let's...
Hey, the Money Store is pretty good.
The Money Store is pretty... my favorite record of the year so far.
You see what the front page of thirdworlds.net was? You see that?
Yeah, it was a hoodie.
Yeah. That was one of the things that, like, freaked me out for a fucking week after that.
What if that's the album art for No Love?
That would suck.
No, it would be so fitting, though.
Oh, no, it cannot be. Oh, it's totally going to be that.
What if it's an eyeball laid over that?
Yeah, a giant
The eyeball is in the dude's face. Like, it's just instead of, you know, that hole, that black hole in the face?
Well, no, the point
is... It's just an eye.
Okay, I don't... You haven't seen the video, the footage of
what if,
that
what
being
if the
deployed
album
in the
art
show?
Was a gif? What if the album art's a gif?
I would invite you to go take another look at the I've Seen Footage video, because it's totally in there.
Yeah.
Like, during the first bridge, there's a extended shot of a guy in the hoodie at a computer. Like, that is a recurring theme. In their
music. Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah. Hacks, well, in their imagery.
The idea of the hacker.
Wow. And the footage they used it in, like, was fucking haunting. Like, I still feel stupid that I was so freaked out by it. Because, like, when you just, like, look at it, it's like, oh, she put on a hoodie. But somehow, like, the way it was, stalled, and the deliberate motion of it, and how the colors shifted as it went up, it's just, ugh. It's like watching someone hang themselves. It was gross.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
Yeah. So, go see Death Grips. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
Yeah, don't see Death Grips.
Don't see Death Grips yet. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not interested.
Yeah.
God, they're going to be touring that album.
Fuck you, Death Grips, for that. Kind of fuck.
They're going to be touring No Love. That's going to be really mean.
Yeah, they're going to be touring No Love and The Money Store.
Yeah, because it was hard enough to deal with The Money Store, frankly.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm going to that show, whenever it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They sort of owe that shit to me.
Yeah.
They owe me.
Yeah.
You owe me, guys.
So that's Death Grips.
They even canceled their, when they announced it?
Yeah.
They even canceled their thing for Sacramento when they were blatantly in Sacramento. Yeah.
Well, I imagine because they expected to get, their recording done a lot sooner. And they had to cancel a bunch of dates because...
Well, that's why I want to hear that's kind of why I want to interview them now.
Man, good luck with that.
Well, it'll probably end up being Zach Hill.
Yeah, I hope so, for your sake.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
Zach Hill's probably easy to talk to.
Zach Hill seems nice.
But I think I've talked to him once. I'm not sure.
MC Ride seems like the scariest man on earth.
I think he needs to have that portrayal just... Let's keep that in the back for a little while longer.
There was, like, an interview that went up with him. I don't even remember what the source was.
If that, was that actually him, though?
That was actually him.
Okay, because I didn't read it. I didn't have time to read all
of
it.
It was the interview he did with Alec Empire from Atari Teenage Riot. And
okay. I'll have to dig that up again.
In that interview, at one point, he says, how'd you guys meet? And he says...
the neighbors.
Stefan Burnett. He said that Zach and him were neighbors, and they met and... Zach knew Morin from production stuff with Hella. So he's talking to Stefan Burnett. And that dude seems super fucking intense.
Zach Hill, please.
Yeah. That'd be great. I'd love to interview Zach Hill.
Like, Zach Hill seems cool. This guy's the guy who sells weed to me.
You know they follow us on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They follow me, too.
Yeah. So, Masita, moving on from the grim depths of April.
I'll link this to him.
Yeah.
I'll link this to him.
Yeah.
We have glowing things to say about your work, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, I've made it clear over the Twitters, the Twitterverse. God.
The Twitters.
Yeah. No, he let out something. I was like, I feel like I need to, like, do an April or May session thing because I need to strike while the iron's hot as... I was like, dude, you made the coyote. I don't think anyone's going to hold a break against you.
Yeah.
So the coyote's super fucking good, too. That record is also pretty goddamn good.
Got a chance to... That was... Goddamn, that album's so good.
Yeah, it's...
God, basically, track to track, the thing is annihilating.
Yeah.
Like, I've listened to that album probably, I'll be honest, like 25 times, at least.
I don't have any kind of scrabbling anything because that's too
like
creepy.
I'm looking at my iTunes plays and like on average like Ken Carroll has 52, Coyote says 45 plays, William Cannon has like 40, and it kind of goes down, you know, because I can't finish albums all the time.
I've probably listened to William Cannon and Onward Upward upwards of 50 times each.
I've heard Onward Upward probably like 70 or 80 times.
So that record's really good, but. I think anyone who's listening to this, like, knows that, kind of?
Well, I'd like to hope so.
Like, we're a very small audience. Like, we know everyone in our audience.
Yeah. We can't get everybody if... Well, the thing is that we're not always totally active in things.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know how well we did with telling people the Coyote's really good. Yeah. I did link my BPM review in the Power Fan Club, so hopefully that got someone's attention, and I'm pretty sure... Yeah.
But dude, that record.
The thing is that it's he made it in a turnaround. It's like I think he put out a Here's to Nowhere in accordance of like it was like March, right?
Yeah,
March 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically right after these October sessions, he was putting out all these different songs, and it was gonna be 15 tracks or something like that, but some just didn't fit. And then just things came together.
Yeah,
super. I don't know. The word is probably surprisingly came together. Just like it just came together.
Yeah. And it's kind of a magical combination of stuff. Like I'm in the middle of I hate to brag about this, but I'm in the middle of recording album number 2. And shut up.
Yay!
Shut up. And it is. I am still having difficulty tracking everything. Like. Figuring out a track list and what songs go together, and I'm having to fight with myself to keep songs on the album because I know it's not going to make sense without those songs on there. It's weird. So I think the one thing that doesn't really come across in music media is how much of a terrifying ego threat it is to make a record.
Yeah, it is.
It is overwhelming. And
I was trying to get over that. Like, I'm in the midst of doing my own.
Yeah.
And I just grabbed the other one.
Yeah.
Probably. If any of you heard that song that I posted, it's probably not on the album.
Right.
It's probably not going to be on this one.
Right.
So
for, like, for the Coyote to come together.
So jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little unnerving, I gotta say.
Like, at least know that the world would not be as, like, it, honestly, it's it makes me look bad.
Yeah.
And it probably makes you look bad.
It makes me look real bad, because fucking Family Name is, for an album that took 3 years to write and formulate, it came together real slapdash, and it kind of feels like it.
I had made no... Yeah. I'm no sound engineer.
Yeah, but he's like 6 years older than
experience.
You.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, he's
fair enough.
He's my age.
Is it like six? Is that 6 years? Jesus.
No.
How old am I?
19, wasn't it?
Am I 19? I'm 19. 20 soon,
yeah.
I think
we had this discussion about 20, how 20
coming
is bullshit
soon.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, 20 is basically bullshit.
Yep.
From what I understand.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, hey, remember how, like, the first half of the year we were waiting for, like, a good rap album to come out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, backing
that
up...
That wasn't... We can't discount... Death Grips is its thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of above all genres at this point. Like, there's no point attaching, like, any sort of hard names to it other than it's
Oh,
Death
yeah,
Grips.
That's rap. No, if you showed this to, like, a tragic, typical rap fan,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they'd freak the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So... Yeah, it's been a hard sell for everyone I know. Like, literally everyone I know. It has been a difficult, like...
Yeah.
Like, hey, you should check this band out. What are they like?
I couldn't sell Death Grips to basically any of my friends.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Maybe one.
By the way, skipping back to the topic of, hey, remember when good rap albums weren't around? I want to go ahead and say, just publicly on the air, you can probably skip Big Crit.
Yeah.
You should, go find out for yourself, man. Like, if you want to, like, listen to the singles, because that's that album. And that bums me the hell out, personally. But, I don't know. Maybe it's your thing.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It's weird, because at work, there is a specific thing that plays. I Got This is the song that plays, and it's a full music video. It's just weird in this corporate environment to hear that.
But it's, like, super aggro and alpha consumer bullshit. Like, it fits, which is really sad. But, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that Big Crit record. I wish it was better, but I don't know how... I don't know if I was ever the audience, you know? Like, I listened to Return of Forever, and I got certain things out of it, and I've never really been convinced that that was the same, like,
That's the thing, Big Crit, that was always there. I don't think you're the only one who feels that way, either. Return to Forever was, like, pretty amazing.
Yeah, R4 is still a juggernaut.
R4. And then Forever in a Day...
It's fine.
I mean, it's not a bad album. It's not, or mixtape, whatever you want to call
it. Mixtape. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. But, I feel like that at one point I was still wondering who he was by the end of that album. Yeah. And I don't know. I think he makes Southern hip hop, and it's not even my favorite Southern hip hop album of the year, which is
Killer Mike.
Killer Mike, motherfucker.
Jesus Christ, Killer Mike.
Who saw that coming?
Like, I liked parts of Pledge. I didn't like it enough to vouch for it last year, but Last year was crazy for rap music. That's not fair. The
current traditional rap album of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything can beat it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's pretty crazy. It's great to hear modern rap that is both, like, kind of that, the style of the day, as well as being socially conscious. Like, there's a real dearth of that, I find. Like, last year there was a lot of really good socially conscious stuff, but Crit wasn't a big name yet. Shabazz Palaces is probably never going to be, like, a big name.
Which sucks. Yeah. That's weird. That's a really weird feeling, considering just how, like, Thee Satisfaction branched off.
Yeah.
And then it sort of became... Well, they were in existence before, but they were just sort of, like, assisting the entire album in effort. Yeah. And that was... It was just an intense album that I don't think a lot of people passed.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, the hip-hop fans won't find that immediately and grasp onto it. Even though I found that super accessible.
Right.
Like, from the very first listen. That wasn't weird to me. All I could think of was,
this is the rap album I've been fucking waiting for.
Yeah.
Like, Black Up is still amazing.
And it was a rap album. It wasn't something that fucked with it.
Yeah.
It was just...
It stripped down rap to its core elements, which is beat and verse. And it removed all the weird consumerism and all the weird glorification of...
The lyricism was bland and not. It wasn't. The what's great about the lyricism in that entire album was that it wasn't radical at all. Well, like there was no. It was just. It was so grounded, and then the music behind it.
I would argue that it's radical by virtue of being grounded, but
yeah. Sure. Well, that's the thing. That's what what it all comes together is it. Yeah, it kind of.
What does it say about the genre that Action Bronson is not fucking radical?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very strange.
Did you see the thing that he did?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of bummed me out.
No, dude, you know what? I knew from listening to Dr. Lecter, like, no, we don't agree on a lot of things.
From what was that one song that was on
Hookers on the Point?
Blue Chip? Yeah. Hookers on Point.
That's a weird song.
What?
Yeah.
Talk about food, please. Keep this food, more food, please.
Yeah.
More food.
No, like, I think anyone going into, like, Action Bronson, if they heard Dr. Lecter and came away from him, it's like, yeah, that's my guy. It's like, no, he's not. Like,
that guy is totally not relatable.
Yeah, he's not. He's not at all. But, like, that's not what makes him good. What makes him good is that he is that fucking East Coast sleaze king, and that's awesome.
So sleazy.
It's the best. But...
That's why I'm kind of okay with it, but I'm not okay with that sort of action. I think that's the weird thing about this.
Yeah.
Is that...
It sucks that he did it, totally, but of course he did it. That.
Yeah, that's mostly it.
Like, surprise is not the tack to take here.
That whole fucking thing. It's just like people getting mad at Kanye West for that whole thing, and then... Well, then again, he wasn't performing Cruelty.
Yeah.
Which, that was pretty cruel.
Yeah. He was performing Cruelty on Taylor Swift, so that's why no one cared.
Yeah, no one gives a shit about Taylor Swift.
Speaking of no one gives a shit about Taylor Swift, dude. LP.
LP doesn't give a shit about Taylor Swift.
Fuck it.
Fuck Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Quote LP. Put that on the fucking CD. It's like review quote. Fuck Taylor Swift, LP, fire.net.
Yeah.
No. That album is also really crazy and really good.
That guy's furious.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the thing that happened with, like, LP, like, the amount of time it took between LP releases, is that he's always kind of been this super ahead-of-the-curve guy, and East Coast and Southern stuff is really starting to be on his ass about it. And so now that there are, like, contemporaries around for him to bounce off of, like Killer Mike, like Danny Brown, like Despot, Esquire, I had a weird conversation about Mr. Motherfucking Esquire. Like, apparently... There's some image out there that people don't take him seriously. Like, I don't dig on that.
I think it's probably the first. It's probably the cover of his mixtape.
But that's perfect.
But who cares?
But Cancer for Cure is amazing.
Yeah. Any collaborative track that LP ends up throwing himself into is some of the greatest shit of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And...
Like,
I think it's great that Esquire came on Cancer for Cure and almost had the best verse on that whole fucking record. It's murdered.
Just
it.
Tougher, Colder, Killer comes on, and then Killer Mike just annihilates that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we need to put all the cameos here, because, like, if they're split apart that far, everyone's gonna go, Jesus Christ, everyone else is awesome.
Yeah, Cancer. He knows how to get energy out of people, and that's fully obvious on both albums.
Yeah.
Like, The Full Retard is
exactly.
Probably one of my favorite songs this year.
Yeah. I seem to be the only person on earth that likes For My Upstairs Neighbor.
Really?
That's my favorite song on that record by a pretty wide margin.
Nah.
Yeah. I just think the storytelling in it is really great. And I think the beat goes
my favorite, but that's not a bad song.
Yeah. So.
But, like, both, like, I want to see them live, and I have the chance to as soon as I think we can say this. I'm going down to San Diego.
Yeah.
Me and we're doing things.
Yeah, but like, dude, Killer Mike is not a thing that's happening down here.
No. That's basically when I come back. There's a Killer Mike show.
Or
I don't know if I'll get the day off, but whatever. I don't want it. I don't
know. Target.
It'd be really cool because it's Killer Mike, LP, Mr. Motherfucking Esquire. Yeah.
I miss that fucking.
Anyway,
there was a Das Racist, Danny Brown, and Despot tour that came in here last year, and I fucking missed it.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
But
that was
before
I knew Danny Brown was going to, like, blow up Earth, so there wasn't so much urgency.
Danny Brown deservedly is here.
It was in January, and Triple X didn't come out until, like, July or so.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I had no idea who Danny Brown was. And then
I didn't know until Triple X.
And then he put out fucking Triple X, which I don't know if you know that. That album's really good. We probably should have given that rap album of the year looking back.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Getting away from rap, because we have all sorts of crazy rock music to talk about.
This year is...
I'm going to flip a coin.
Oh, my God. What are we talking about next?
Yeah.
Tails is John Mayer.
No. All right, we're going to talk about Grass Widow.
Okay.
Grass Widow, okay, so...
If you don't, y'all don't know.
Y'all don't know about Grass Widow. Okay, so Grass Widow is a three-piece, all-female, and it is really worth checking out. It is... Like, my initial reaction to it was I was kind of bored by it. It was like, it kind of went in one ear out the other, because I didn't have it turned up real loud. So it just felt like, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, great, it's lo-fi, they're a chorus, great, whatever, okay.
It was weird. The first time I heard that album,
yeah.
I was, like, working, it was an overnight shift, and it was... at this point, I think I had just finished listening to the Mount Eerie album after working.
Right.
Anyway, it was probably around, like, 1:30, 1:40 in the morning. Getting real tired.
Mm-hmm.
Had it only in one ear, but I was, like, hearing... This is also out of delirium.
Yeah.
I was just hearing how fucking wonderful everything sounds.
Yeah.
Like, everything sounds wonderful.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that I dismissed it as sounding like some lo-fi thing. No, they engineered that to sound precisely like that. And
their
that's
vocal
fucking
track?
Crazy.
Holy crap. Those are produced amazingly.
Yeah, it's and that's really what gives it away, is like listening to the vocals, like these are all way too clear for this to just be some people recording to tape. They did this on purpose. I don't even know how to kind of do that on purpose. That's
Yeah. If I could somehow take how, like, the album is paced really well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like
under 30 minutes.
It gets to a point where
it's
a light in the static pops up, and it's this, like, really, like classically, like, based, like, guitar track,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately Spock on Mooney comes on, and it's
and
just
that's just, like, roaring hell.
Thrash.
It's great.
It's, yeah. And then by the end of it, it just, like, kind of whittles down into, like, it really has, like, sonic variability that not a lot of these kind of bands ever contain.
Yeah, especially like going back to something like La Sera earlier this year. Like, that album's really good.
Very
but
comparable.
It's kind of like the one sound the whole way.
Yeah, well, and she tagged. Well, the thing about that with the comparison for that is she didn't sound like Seize the Light before.
Yeah. It is very much an album about hammering out that sound, whereas Grass Widow has this huge vocabulary of just weird lo-fi starting points, and instead of
which makes La Sera seem so much like a solo record.
Absolutely. Yeah, that really stands out. This is like Grass Widow is like maybe is under 30 minutes, but it's clearly music that has been just labored over for hours and hours and hours, and it's just it's so fucking good. The way that album starts is amazing. Because it is the most jarring intro.
Space drone, and then...
It sounds like some Mystery Science Theater 3000
Then the artwork itself feels like that, too.
Yeah.
It's really funny how that... Like, have you seen the music video for it?
Yeah, I have. It looks like...
That's a really good music video.
They have nailed the exact tone of that song. And it's really... It is... If the album did not start like that, I would have listened to it one time and just gone, whatever. But... Like, Goldilocks Zone stuck in my head real bad because of how just jarring and un-modern hipster bullcrap that intro is. And then that's what caused me to listen to it louder, and it's like, oh no. Oh no, they're really good! I'm really bad at this! My hearing doesn't work anymore.
That's a band to really watch. I really,
very excited to see everything else they do. And also go back and listen to the other, like, two records they put out.
I'm going to do that tomorrow.
You should probably do the
album. I have the day off, so...
Dude, you should probably do the album club stuff tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I've listened to half of it.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Finding a hard... Yeah.
I need to do that this week, too.
Hey, guys, Dope Body!
Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ, Dope Body! That record's great! That record's
Here's
so great!
All the music you should hear. You want to hear some, like, off-kilter, like, weird, like, really fun hardcore music?
What if Man was a hardcore band?
That... Dope Body.
Yeah. What if Drag City signed a hardcore band?
this dope on.
Yeah, it is exactly. It's like, of course this is signed to Drag City. Of course they're from Baltimore. Yes, perfect. Awesome. Great.
Yeah, out of my mind is this weird fucking Primus kind of thing.
it is much like Grass Widow. It is very verbose in where it's coming from, except its starting points are kind of fucking... I don't know. They're from some weird forest instead of space.
The intro is, not very telling of what it is. It feels like...
Yeah.
Almost like you're trying to get across a metal record.
Yeah, Shook is super misleading to what the rest of that record is.
That feels like a doom metal song.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense why they would start with that, I guess, because...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because
if you started with Road Dogg, everything would just kind of feel... I don't know, a letdown after that? But to have that...
Again, how much tracking really affects your listening experience. It really does. Yeah,
but there's that slow, kind of dissonant, uncomfortable listen to Shook. And then Road Dogg gets going. It's like, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
Road Dogg is... I'm gonna...
It is a perfect counterpoint to the intro. And
Summer Jams, Road Dogg.
Yeah, we should do a Summer Jam mixtape.
Oh, damn it. We put out our Summer Jams mixtape last year in, fall.
Yeah.
We can't do that this year.
We have to get on top of this.
Coming soon, Summer Jams.
Yeah. Fucking Currency, that's the thing, 15 times.
I listened to it once.
Okay.
I listened to...
That the way that album starts is great. It is fucking pitch perfect.
It's just boom, it's just weed, jets, cars. Yeah.
But no, it's of course...
You know, it's just this weird whale, introduces the album in this, oh my god, here's Currency.
Yeah, it's this fucking... It's the drum roll before the curtain opens, and then there's just plumes of weed smoke, and then from the smoke arises Currency.
It's it just feels like he's... It's this, Currency... Yeah. And his whole thing in, the jet crew invaded, a jazz club. Yeah. And they don't care.
Yeah. It is the most Currency record yet. And it's totally great.
I really like the one with Estelle.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the name of that song. And that song is fucking amazing.
And then Jet Life is actually pretty bad. I didn't like it.
Yeah, Jet Life is a weird low point on that record. I hate to keep hating on Chris.
Jet Life to the next. I'm listening to it, sorry. Yeah. I'm listening to the song. So, I was just trying to remember it.
Yeah, having a bad intro on an album that is wall to wall awesome before that part. Sorry, a bad outro.
Capital's pretty good.
Yeah. Jesus.
Two Chains. How did that happen?
I don't know.
How did we? The weird thing is I got really, really down on the fact that Wiz Khalifa's on the album.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, Wiz Khalifa's on that record.
Yeah, I know, but it got to a point where I was thinking basically there are three weird I'm a stoner traditional rap artists currently. It's Currency, ASAP Rocky, and Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah. Somewhere in the background, Cypress Hill sits all quietly those, and laughs.
Yeah.
Well,
Cypress Hill spend time doing other things. Whatever.
Smoking. A lot.
Smoking. Specifically smoking shit tons of weed.
So
much.
Yeah.
Now that it's basically if you have only 25 grams of marijuana in New York, it's just a misdemeanor.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about with Killer Mike, but there's a point with Currency as well. All of the featured people on both of those records turned in career verses. That is this on Killer Mike, single greatest T.I. verse ever.
Yeah.
T.I. steps up and
have you seen the music video for that? I don't know. I know you didn't like Drive too much,
It is. I didn't hate Drive. I just thought it was okay.
Drive's fucking incredible.
It happened.
Throw down,
Albert
but I
Brooks
won't throw
is pretty
down.
Awesome in it. I'll give you that.
Oh god, yeah.
But
Albert Brooks steals the show with that role.
The thing that really stuck out with that movie is that all the people with all the lines are the people you want to have all the lines. And
and then Ryan Gosling is doing his super cool silent thing.
Yeah, stoic.
And not having a
psychopath.
Name. Not having a fucking name.
Yeah.
Seeing Ryan Gosling go nuts.
Yeah, the elevator scene is an all... Okay, so I don't like narrative so much anymore, so the way I look at movies is scene to scene analysis. Is this well shot? Is this whatever? That's the only way I can get any joy out of
At this point, as far as I'm concerned, that's like one of the most iconic film scenes of the last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you want the whole elevator scene is just
the kiss, and then just all of a sudden just slow away, and then just punch, stomp into the ground, yeah. And then it's like,
and
all of a sudden,
yeah, the stomping, and then her backing out of the elevator. The door should close, and then there should just be like
shivering
a fucking
and
American
at her.
Flag, and then the movie should end. It's like,
oh,
guess what? We nailed America. That's it.
Like, that movie was fucking American. Yeah. Like, it was, like, the most conversion of, like, European and American since any David Lynch film.
Yeah.
Like.
You want to talk about Liars?
Sure.
Speaking of David Lynch.
We're both writing. I wrote a review. You're writing it.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, is the thing.
Okay.
Like,
Let's talk about it.
I kind of said everything I had to say about it, like, helping you write the review.
Thanks.
No problem. That album is song to song perfect. I've used that exact description over and over again. It's because that's what it is. It is song for song perfect, and that's
let's be honest. You didn't help me write the review.
No, I didn't help you write the review. But
we talked about the album right before I wrote the review.
You were like, I'm like trying to figure out what to say. Rap with me.
I haven't
for
talked
a
about it to anybody. Yeah. I didn't talk about it with anyone.
Yeah, and I. Once I find a tack that I want to talk about, cannot stop talking, so...
Yeah.
It's useful.
Whatever.
I'm like a resource. Mind me for the review... What?
I'm like helium. I'll die someday.
Yeah. You'll run out eventually, but until then, squeak away. So at least he's good.
Squeak Away.
That's the name of the show? Okay,
it's
good.
New comedy. It's like my new comedy record that I'm recording over at... where should I record this thing?
I don't know.
My house.
I guess.
with my audience of dogs.
Yeah. Matt's not on the show because we can't get a hold of him, by the way.
Yeah.
So, and he hasn't been...
Nothing weird. Nothing weird going on.
He's been doing, like, a bunch of performance stuff, and he's in college. Like, he's in art college and shit. So...
Or he's, like, started. I mean, he just got out.
Yeah. But...
Maybe he'll be there. Yeah. He's doing shit, whatever.
He's doing shit. He hasn't been, like, consuming music on the... hellacious degree that we have, and we figured we'd take a point to just...
This is the usual point in the year where I start really doing that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, for the first few months, I usually am pretty slow.
Yeah. You want to talk about John Mouse?
Yes!
Alright, so let's have a conversation about John Mouse. Well, I remember last year, when we were doing our award stuff, when we put up Not Best Album, that Tucker posted that he thought John Mouse should have won that because he doesn't have the Pavement hate that we do.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is a good point, but man, fuck Pavement. And
honestly, seeing that live video, which you will be seeing before you fucking listen to this. You better.
Yeah, that'll be in the post. Like. Okay, this is going to help make the ending of this podcast make sense, but...
I want to perform my songs like that.
I've been going back and, like, listening to that record. I think we kind of shit on it for no good reason. Like...
I don't know. Maybe I didn't understand where it was coming
from. Yeah, no, it is... Like, if you have seen a John Mouse interview or a performance, like, there's so much more going on to that stuff than it sounds like.
I'm gonna bang my head while it plays a karaoke track.
Well, okay, so,
it's not really karaoke. Well,
it's karaoke. He's
pretty fucking cool, though.
He is...
It's watching a guy lose his mind.
To his own record. And, which is like a very Kanye West move, kind of.
Yeah.
But... So the thing is, about his performances, is I've been fascinated, like, reading reviews with this guy, like, interviews with this guy, because he seems like a weird dude. And the point he's trying to make with his performance is that the purpose of a performance is to establish that the musician exists, right? Because we have these records, but we have no physical evidence that these people made these records. Like, it could be anyone.
And that's what's really funny about the whole situation.
So, John Mouse, like, his entire performance style is about trying to bust down as few lines between the music and the proof of his existence as he can. So, that basically means just, like, here's the actual tracks. Here's the sampler that I, like, sequenced them with. And now I'm just going to scream them at you because I know them. And...
and it's probably way more entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. It's, oh, yeah. Listening to that record, you have no idea that's what his live show is like. You're expecting something like, well, the Ariel Pink live show, where it's kind of
actually, not even. I was expecting it way more dry. No, yeah. Ariel Pink shows are not like that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
I've
seen live. There was the point where he got into a crowd and started making out with people.
I invite you to go find the footage of them from Coachella last year, where Ariel had a huge fit in the middle of Round.
That was
and
a
round.
Controversial show.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Like, I'm glad they live streamed that.
That's kind of why I want to see Ariel Pink.
Right. Because he's like Sly and the Family Stone. Maybe he just won't show up. I don't know.
Which, honestly, fine. at this point, he is more like Sly and the Family Stone than ever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure of that. They just put out Baby, which is like a cover song. And
yeah,
a lot better than the other one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I think it's better than the original. Ariel Pink's also known for exceeding at covering songs and making them better than the original.
Right.
So
I guess.
I.e. Bright Lip Blue Sky.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I suppose that's a fair point.
What else do we have?
In my queue right now is Dose One, which that album makes no fucking sense.
I haven't heard it yet.
That album is like its cover. go Google search G is for Deep by Dose One, and you'll get the picture.
Hey guys, who gives a shit about Hot Chip?
Why'd you have to say that? Like, I forgot they existed for a long time.
For like a good solid 3 years since they put out that last record?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, cool, like there's it. No Hot Chip. That's great.
They haven't put out a good record since 2005, yeah. So...
And then it came out, I was like, no, there's totally Hot Chip. And I'm like, fuck!
I'm not into the weird 80s synth thingy. Yeah. I'm not into, like, the really cheesy stuff. Like, the vocals really...
Which is hilarious, given that we were just talking about John Mouse.
Yeah.
Because that's totally what that music is.
The way that goes is that it's not... I don't know the current stance on why Hot Chip does that.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about the band, but...
Everything I've heard from Hot Chip is super boring. That's all I have to say.
I just get... It's not exciting, and I feel like I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Like... I'll be honest.
Well, that's like the British approach to pop, isn't it? Like, of course everything's been done, so we're going to do the things we like.
But that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit.
That's like saying anything that's invented... Everything has already been invented.
Yeah.
Like,
it is a very... Well, it is an appropriately nihilistic view, I guess.
Well, the thing about the idea of, like, everything that can be invented has already been invented,
yeah,
is such a distinctively physical idea,
yeah,
rather than, hey, we have this whole fucking digital world. Look what we can create on,
yeah,
top of
we
that.
We can make literally any sound. But...
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah, let's get into weird existential shit about inventions and what counts as an invention.
How about we just end this instead?
Or I could talk about Mount Erie.
Okay, what's Mount Erie like?
For all... we've heard the microphones, right?
Yeah.
You come on.
No, yeah. Wait. No. No, I have not.
What?
That's always been on my list of things to do.
What?
Yeah, no, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, Glow Part 2 is the obvious one,
yeah,
you go to. But, basically, what he does with every album, he always elaborates on his last one.
All right.
Like, which is always a really interesting thing to see. It's like kind of the conversion over to what these new ideals of his are.
Right.
And, like, he's always had that weird, like, North Pacific kind of feel to his music. But on this one, he, like, gets to a point where he creates a solid, like, soundscape.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not, most of it isn't acoustic based. The first song is basically the only time you get like true, like guitar vocals and shit. It becomes this weird sweeping epic soundscape near the end of the album,
mm-hmm,
and then synthesizers, and then
right,
it just becomes really interesting. And you remember how much I liked Bon Iver last year?
Yeah.
I don't think this is like that.
Okay, good. That's great news.
I've gotten to that point where I just like the record a lot because I'm a huge fucking Elverum fan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm really interested if... I want you to probably... You probably want to listen to any, like, other...
Yeah, yeah. Like I noticed that there's a lot of folk tags to everything he's ever done. That's not
it's a lot
jam.
Of it's yeah, and it's it gets to a point where he is kind of infusing metal a lot, and it works really well for some reason.
Okay.
Or he like you'll understand that once you listen to the first two songs of Globe Part Two. Right. It's not really not all of it's metal. Sometimes it's just really hard rock.
Right.
It's not like cheese metal. It's he's imagine what a folk artist would try to do if he created metal.
Live to experience.
Basically.
Okay.
No. Just, I can't say...
All right, I'll check it out.
That's why Elverum is kind of in his own little world.
Okay.
And it's something to go for. So, if any of you have listened to The Microphones, listen to Glow Part 2, one of my favorite albums ever.
Okay.
So, there we go.
I kind of want to talk about Father John Misty. We were making a bunch of stink about, like, I don't know that I want to say anything about that record.
Speaking of weird live presences.
Yeah. The cock rockinest band of the year, Father John Misty.
Guy is dancing around. He's making fun of you. Yeah. Like, that's basically his entire show.
I can't tell if that's what it is, though. Like,
I think it is.
He did a full set for KEXP. And there was a sit-down interview in the middle of it where he expressed that the reason that he is doing this Father John Misty thing, like, it seems like it's a side project with its own, like, presentation style, but the point he was careful to make was that he had used his real name for a lot of really serious, really music full of gravitas and stuff, and that's not necessarily who he is. But his name already has that connotation. So he chose another name. So it seems like it's just some weird, like, concept piece, but it doesn't appear to be as such, which makes it that much stranger, I think.
I haven't gotten to hear the record completely.
It's, it's pretty honky-tonk. Like, if you're down with that, then go for it. If you're not, then...
I think that's where can't the hang weird, out if you the don't weird like dancing and shit comes from. Yeah. It's like the idea of just being this super crass bar singer.
Yeah.
Like, really cut cookie cutter.
I know, that's what those songs
just, like,
are.
What
too.
Is he doing? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who does he think he is?
Yeah. Did you make it to I'm writing a novel?
No.
Okay. All right.
Is that where it really gets like that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's, I think, I... The guy's pretty, aware of what's going, like,
yeah.
When I saw Fleet Foxes live, there were two people really mic'd and talking,
uh-huh.
And that was Robin Pecknold and Jay Tillman.
Yeah, I was talking about this when I showed you the video. It was like, of course Tillman left Fleet Foxes to do this, because you know who
he is insanely intelligent.
You know what seems like they would hate every bit of Father John Misty?
Robin
Pecknold.
Fucking Pecknold would hate this.
Yeah.
Like, theoretically, and I think, well, that's why he left.
Yeah.
Who really even knows? I really want to get it. If there are any interviews out there with him, that I want to read them.
Well, it's probably just as simple as, like, I want to pursue my own things. And then
his
own
was, like,
thing ended up being the anti-Fleet Foxes.
He was directing, like, weird, funny jazz interludes. That guy's comedic.
Yeah.
And he does things that are satiric. And that's
that's
something why I think, why I've come to the conclusion that Father John Misty is sort of about.
Yeah.
It
does make me kind
satire.
Of worried that Fleet Foxes are going to get more serious or something.
Dude, I don't know where Fleet Foxes are going, especially with the stuff that Robin Pecknold wrote afterward.
Yeah.
And, like, the new songs that he was showing off at the show.
Right.
He, like, it was, like, the second show. He showed off this... He soloed this one song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I Left You. And it was really literal.
Yeah.
Really not in the sense of, like, talking about the snow and
right.
these, like, myths.
Yeah.
It was this very... think if Simon and Garfunkel got really dark.
But I hate Simon and Garfunkel. That sucks.
I don't, but, I just want to say, I just wonder if that's the direction or if that was just some concept piece he really wanted to show.
All right, we have breached.
Because it's a really emotional thing.
I hate to be a bummer, but we have breached 45 minutes.
We have?
Yeah.
Good God.
So, real quick, other things you should probably check out. Laurel Halo is pretty damn great. I Am I Who Am I? Currently the top rated record for 2012 on Rate Your Music. I don't know if
it's... Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
It's not Killer Mike anymore?
I don't know if it's that good, but it's pretty interesting. Go find it on YouTube because there's a entire film. Like, the way they do stuff is that they do the film and the music at the same time. So it is kind of intertwined very heavily. So I don't know that listening to just the pure record is going to be that great of an experience or that full of an experience. Because it is so very thoroughly designed to be this one aesthetic that does not come through just through the music. So, it's interesting. It might not be your thing. What else? Dr. John? Should people listen to Dr. John?
If you haven't heard Dr. John...
I have not heard Dr. John.
I'd go to, like, his really early stuff. Like, fucking... Grease. I don't know how to say it. It's like G-R-I-S hyphen Grease. Oh, yeah. Grease.
Yeah.
Gumbo. Yeah. That's the line in the song. Listen to that.
All right.
If you, like, honestly, if you were going to ever venture into listening to Lockdown, you need to listen to that first. And just to see how much Dan Auerbach gets inside Dr. John and makes it not.
So, yeah, that's it for us. And, listen to good music.
Yeah, maybe just Celebration Rock your Pandroids. Yeah. I'll start spouting more shit off.
Okay. We need to stop now.
Fuck.
Alright, bye.
Bye! Y'all suck.